What's good?
Hey guys.
Last week, we dove into dating etiquette, some do's and don'ts of a first date. And if you listened to the episode and you had a thought that you wanted to share, send us a DM, a voice message to our Instagram, co.signpodcast. This week, we're talking about two specific dating trends, ghosting and breadcrumbing. Have you heard of them?
See, I had never heard of breadcrumbing.
Me either until you told me. And I was like, oh.
But this is a real thing.
That happens.
It's been done to me. I've done it right. To people. If you guys don't know what breadcrumbing is, so it is essentially leading someone on by sending sporadic messages, commenting on social media posts in a way that continues interest. However, it is almost always non-committal and vague, giving just enough attention to keep the other person's hope of a relationship alive.
Oh, God. Just cut to my core.
Yeah.
Because I think I hear what it is, and I'm listening to the definition. I've had that happen to me a lot, I feel like, now that I'm hindsight's 2020.
Right.
I feel like I've only maybe done this maybe two times.
Right.
That I can think of, but this is definitely a real thing.
It is.
So like we said, we're going to be talking about breadcrumbing and ghosting. So three reasons that breadcrumbing is worse than ghosting. If you didn't think anything could be worse than ghosting, well, breadcrumbing it is.
I think breadcrumbing takes the cake.
I feel like it does too. So number one, when you're ghosted, you know it's over, right? There's no, like, questioning it. You may not understand, like, why things have ended, but it's a tough pill to swallow. But at least you have your answer, right? You can mourn the relationship or the dream of what could be, whatever. But when you're breadcrumbed, the flames of that hope are still, like, fanned every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, it's still, like, the embers are still there. You may also keep yourself off the market for, like, no good reason, as you're not really open to meeting anybody else because this person over here that's breadcrumbing you keeps investing every now and then, like, essentially making you or keeping you interested in them.
Yeah. What? Raise your hand if you've been a victim of breadcrumbing.
I don't know why we're laughing. We're laughing to not cry.
Through the pain. Number two, so being breadcrumbed a lot of times involves deception.
Yeah.
So both ghosting and breadcrumbing behavior are typically signs of someone who's very poor at communicating. Both practices may also display a lack of empathy from the person doing them. Mm-hmm. So, but unlike ghosting, it takes a higher level of deception and manipulation to continually keep someone in the game with no intention of a real commitment.
Yeah.
So a lot of times these deceptions, they'll take forms of lies, flattery, seduction.
Mm.
This person is keeping the interest for their own benefit at the expense of yours. So you're being used to perhaps boost an ego, get laid, or be a backup option if maybe they're talking to something else and it doesn't work out.
Right, like they're fiending off of the attention that you're giving them.
Yeah.
Even though they're really not interested, or they're not interested in a committed relationship with you.
Right. But it's just like we talk about the ego boost.
Mm-hmm. That's, God, relative. Last but not least, mixed signals are harder to cope with than no signals. We've all been in a situation where mixed signals are very much a thing. If you're ghosted, you don't really get any more signs of interest at all. You know, it's really just complete silence. When you're breadcrumbed, you get mixed messages of interest all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So these mixed signals may cause you to up the ante on your efforts to keep the relationship going. And they also cause more emotional distress. You'll wonder what's happening and why, what's wrong with you. And you almost always analyze their actions and what they mean, and you feel like you're going crazy. So now you know what breadcrumbing is, and you're probably like,
that's happened to me.
That's what that was. This ain't Hansel and Gretel, people. Right. Stop breadcrumbing people, okay? Nobody wants to be led off to your little oven and, you know, whatever. I don't know how the story goes, but you get what I'm saying. What's your personal, like, we've read all these things about what it is and what it's not and whatever. What's your personal opinion on breadcrumbing?
Well, for me, as soon as I read the definition, like you said, I was like, oh, so that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Have definitely, you know, been involved with someone who kind of gives you like the bare minimum, but gives you enough that just like keeps you going.
Right.
You know, and it's always seems to be a situation where as soon as you're like, you know what, I'm done with this, then you get the message.
Right.
They always come in at the perfect time, as soon as you're, you know, done with it.
And you settle for bare minimum. Who are we, people? We right. are not bare minimum bitches. Okay? I feel like my opinion, we've all been in that place, like, when you're dating someone, or even just, like, on the verge of dating somebody, mm-hmm. and you really aren't entirely sure of, like, your feelings specifically. And that's okay, but I feel like what's not okay is when someone realizes that they don't actually see a future with you or see it going anywhere,
yeah.
and they still continue to lead you on. I don't know. I feel like it's, like you said, always just enough to promise you something or to keep you interested. And really, they don't have any intention of making anything more of it.
And it seems to always be making a lot of plans that never actually happen.
Yeah.
That's a big red flag.
Yeah.
Either they're not serious, or like we know, they're dating someone else.
Yeah. Hey, if you're being breadcrumbed and you're starting to be like, okay, I feel like they're just kind of like Hansel and Gretel-ing me. Maybe it's time to just like lessen your emotional investment.
Yeah.
But we have a story for you guys.
This is a good one.
So this is actually coming from a guy. And this is, I used it for this specific situation because it does kind of fall on the verge of breadcrumbing and ghosting. It's that fine line. So this guy sent this in and he said, first off, I feel like a total fool writing this now, but here it goes. At the time of this story, I was a 17-year-old male and my date was 17-year-old female. We were both coworkers. Sam's red flag.
I told ya.
We were both co-workers, and I started talking to her. Every Sunday, I worked in the afternoons, and she worked the same shift the same day every week. I asked her to my homecoming dance, and she agreed to go with me. But after that is where things started going wrong. The Sunday after I asked her, she started texting me about her dance ticket during school and also wanted her friend to come with us. But in reality, I felt like she wanted her friend as a third wheel to my school's dance.
Weird.
And keep note that she went to a different high school than I did. I told her that her friend couldn't come because my school only accepted one guest per student. After that, I was the one who always had to start the conversations, and she didn't respond until several hours later. At one point, I sent her a long text, which was formally asking her why she hadn't been answering my messages. Her response was that she was busy with school and that she gets home late every night. But in my mind, I'm thinking if she had the time to check my Snapchat, then she had time to check and respond to my text.
Facts.
The Wednesday before the dance on Saturday, we still had not had a plan of where we were meeting, clothing, etc. because she, quote, hasn't had the time to respond to my text. Apparently at her own high school, she was very popular because she was the senior class president, and at my school, I was this average Joe with a good group of friends but was nowhere near popular. I discussed this many times with my friend group, and some of them thought she was a bitch after looking at my text with her. Some of them said I should dump her because they think she was taking advantage of me, and a few of them said I should be patient and give her time. I was unsure of who to listen to and what to do when this happened, and I ended up going to my dance alone. I really thought she was a cute girl and was easy to talk to and had a really nice personality, but at the same time, felt like I was being curved. I wanted to get a female's perception since all of my friends were guys at this time. Go for it.
Okay. First of all,
I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Not every girl's like that.
And that's really shitty that you had to go to your dance alone.
Yeah.
Because she was basically flaked out. But this is where I'm confused. What did she get out of saying yes?
Right.
And who was she trying to bring with her? Was it a girl or a guy?
Right.
Because this determines my opinion a little more.
Like if it was a guy friend?
It sounds like she's trying to use your dance as a date.
Right. and use you as just a way to get there. If it was a girl, it's still weird. I can understand, but if she's working with you, you're not a stranger.
Right.
So what's the need, again?
For the third wheel.
Right, and why would you say yes if you really didn't have any intention of going?
And then he said...
Unless she said yes because she felt bad of saying no in person. Like, he apparently, I guess, I'm assuming he asked her in person.
Yeah.
And then maybe she started thinking about it and felt bad. But even then, you should still say something. But I get it. You're 17. You probably just like... Ew.
But basically, she didn't stop responding until he told her she couldn't bring another person with her.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me. Are you trying to get like a free meal and a free dance? It's weird to me that...
Yeah.
Especially because he goes to another school than her.
Right. Most schools only let you bring one person. Yeah. This is not a group affair.
Right.
And you're trying to make it. So stop trying to make fetch happen.
And another big thing was a week before the dance, mm-hmm. they still hadn't... The Wednesday before the dance
3 days.
On Saturday...
3 days.
Still had not narrowed down an outfit, Matt, you know...
And I feel... This is why I feel bad. I feel like before this Wednesday, like, he had many times to just, like, cut it off. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he liked her and he actually wanted to go with her.
Yeah.
Which is bad because she essentially just, like, let that happen.
And just...
And then now he had to... He could have actually asked somebody who would have gone with him, who wouldn't have made it a headache, and had a really great time.
Even if it was just a friend.
And now, essentially, I mean, his senior dance was ruined because... I'm assuming he was a senior, but even not. I mean, his dance was ruined. He had to go by himself. And that makes somebody feel bad, too.
Yeah.
Shame on her. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Shame on her. When someone will check your Snapchat and not reply to a text...
That pisses me off.
Which freaking girl have you ever met does not have her phone on her?
Right.
That's some BS if I've ever heard.
Not even just females. Everybody nowadays has their phone on them.
And I'm sorry, it takes more steps to open a Snapchat than it does a text message.
Mm-hmm. Everything, especially if you have Apple Watch, which most people do nowadays, or some sort of smartwatch, your messages come straight to your wrist.
Right.
So it's not like you can just say, oh, well, I didn't get it. Or, and the bullshit about, oh, I've been working late and blah-de-blah-de-blah. That might be true, but that's a cop-out.
It is.
That's a complete cop-out because you have a break at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many variables that she could have answered him.
Anyone has 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
I don't care how freaking busy you are.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I wish we could go back in time and make that better for you. Recommendation, as far as breadcrumbing. So, after 3 separate occasions... where a dedicated conversation takes place, and if no mention of meeting up has occurred, then limit, like we said, limit your emotional investment immediately.
Yes.
This can be considered harsh, or you might feel bad for doing it, but it encourages realism and clarity.
Which everyone
deserves. And it protects you. It protects yourself, because especially females, I feel like if someone shows us, really anybody, but I feel like females are a little bit more emotional in nature, where, you know immediately if somebody gives you butterflies or if you're, like, vibing with somebody, and especially even just over a conversation, you like them.
Yeah.
And if they're constantly just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, we'll have to see, or
just
or
you really
make plans, and then, like, yeah, just limit your emotional investment.
Yeah, I agree.
Until they, like, actually say, hey, meet me here, 7 p.m., blah, blah, blah. And even then, I'd be like, are you going to show up?
Right.
Because I ain't coming. Send me a picture when you're there, then I'll be on my way. You know?
And I will co-sign that.
We're back.
All right. So now, ghosting.
Ooh.
And we ain't talking Casper, okay?
Right.
This is not the friendly kind.
Right.
I don't know of a single person who has not been through this or done this at least one
That's
time.
That's sad.
It is, but it's kind of like the new dating trend, you know, and I even read people don't break up anymore.
Yeah.
You just stop talking, basically.
Right. What is ghosting, exactly? Ghosting is the practice of ending a personal relationship with someone by suddenly, and without explanation, withdrawing all communication. So it's basically a big silent treatment. I have a quote. It says, ghosting is becoming more common because it's so easy to do. This quote comes from a licensed clinical psychologist, Ramani Dervasula, I believe I'm saying that right. And she says that it's often the fault of the ghoster, not the ghosted. Ghosting usually reflects immaturity and psychological fragility on the part of the ghoster, I believe.
And like we're going to touch on in this part of this episode, I also am on the side where I believe there are circumstances where it can be acceptable. So we're going to go through a little bit. These are four signs that you may be ghosted, okay?
If you didn't realize it.
Right. So number one, you make all the plans.
Yeah.
And we mean you're always reaching out first. Maybe the person replies and it's kind of vague. Or they just don't reply for hours or days and never really nail anything down.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you share them on social media, but they don't share you.
I feel like that's just being hidden.
Right.
Like completely, like, miss me with that.
There's a reason you're not being shared. Right. And they're probably seeing other people.
Right.
Number three, they never want you to meet their friends.
Again, with number two.
Yes, definitely. And number four, like we said, they take hours or days to respond.
Or just never respond.
And when you're really into somebody, at least for me, and I suck sometimes at texting back, but if I'm really into somebody, don't make that face.
If she's into somebody relationship-wise, not into the friendship, because she don't be responding to me.
We're getting petty.
Petty Patricia. Go ahead, sorry.
So, we had a few people message us and send in some stories that we're going to share with you guys. So, this person said, I knew ghosting was common. It had happened to me after a second or third date before, which stung, but never like this. December of last year, I was stuck in my apartment for 5 days battling the flu. Before getting sick, I had been seeing this guy for a little over a month. While I was sick, he was also fighting the flu too. After those 5 days of being sick, I texted him and I didn't hear from him for 3 days. Complete silence. The mental guessing game was nearly as debilitating as the flu was. I really liked him and I remember asking myself these questions. Had his flu gotten worse? Was he in the hospital? Had some other terrible thing happened to him? Or was he sending me the silent message that we were done? Naturally, I was really upset, but I wasn't just upset that what I thought was a promising relationship might be ending. I was distraught for all of us who are in the dating world that breaking up via ghosting is somehow acceptable. It might be excusable after a date or two, but disappearing after a month is normal now? I don't get it. It's bad enough to break up over text, but now it seems we're so bad at breaking up that people aren't doing it at all. They would rather ghost. What are your opinions?
I agree. I feel like, okay, what changed over the 5 days that you were sick? Like, did the flu, like, hit your brain different or something where you just, like, don't like her anymore? Right. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because you've been seeing this girl for over a month. You don't do that. I don't feel like you do that unless you like somebody.
Right.
Now, I wish I could get details and be like, okay, over the course of that month, what did that month look like? Because were you being breadcrumbed and didn't realize it? That could have definitely been the thing. And then he said, oh, I'm sick. This is my way out. Yeah. Like, I can just, like, you know?
You know, and him going 3 days of silence. So I'm also wondering during that month, was he consistent in his communication with you to begin with? Or
right.
Like Mackenzie said, was it just kind of like, oh, here and there, I'll give you a little bit.
And I feel like it's natural for her to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, like, is he okay? Like, is he in the hospital? Did he get worse? Like, whatever. Those are natural things, which shows that she actually really did like him.
Yeah.
And he literally, I'm assuming, didn't even ask if she was good.
And that's kind of messed up when you both know you're really sick and then you just don't reply. Like,
right.
She wants to know if you're alive.
My personal opinion, like, with ghosting, and I said it a little earlier, I think it's extremely heartless, and I feel like it's immature emotionally to do it. Have I ghosted before? Once or twice. When I was younger. You know? I feel like you're lying if you said you haven't ghosted.
Right.
Could I do it now? I don't think so. Only because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you know me, but I just feel like I'm someone who, like, I constantly want to leave people a little better than what I find them, and I don't want anybody thinking ill of me.
Yeah.
Even if they've been a horrible person. They could have been completely horrible to me, and I should be like, you know what, big F you.
Yeah.
But I'm always just like, you know what, I'm just going to try to be the bigger person.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if that's just as I've gotten older. And what I feel like if you don't like someone, or you don't see it going anywhere, or maybe you try to give it a go and your feelings just really aren't deepening, have that conversation. Especially if you're somebody who, like, ghosts and then, like, blocks. Oh, that's so childish to me.
It is like, so grow the childish, fuck up. Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't know. I just figured, just have a conversation like an adult, and you know what? Let them go. Like, if he or she wants to go, let them. They're not the one for you.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate on this side. When it comes to ghosting, I'm with the girl where, and even with Ken's, if you're involved with someone for a month or over a month and you've been going on dates, you've been consistently talking, that's not a situation where I could ghost someone, unless it was a situation where the person's not getting it, where you're trying to break it off and be nice, and maybe the person's lashing out or acting crazy or won't leave you alone. That's a different circumstance. Just completely cutting communication when everything has seemed to be okay up until this point is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And then you also have the circumstances where meeting someone new, and maybe you go out a couple times and it's horrific.
Right.
Like, the person is,
you know, a psychopath.
Yeah, like, creepy, narcissistic, disrespectful.
Yeah.
Just anything blatant up front like that, that's a little different. You don't really know the person, and maybe you already can get the vibe that this person's not going to take you cutting it off well. Those would be the circumstances where I would kind of advocate it would be okay.
Which I agree, because even in her statement, she said, I can somewhat agree with doing it after a date or two.
Right.
But in her situation, I guess my opinion is more coming from, okay, a month or more.
Yeah.
After a first date or so, and Sam says, you're a weirdo, you're a creeper, you're literally, like, safety reasons, I need to just, like, pretend you don't exist. I get it.
Yeah.
But if you've actually, like, entertained this person for however long, and clearly I'm assuming they've hung out, because you don't just, like, not, well, I don't know, you don't just not hang out for over a month and then you get sick and then...
And they both got the flu, so they were together.
You know, I don't know. I feel like that's just where my opinion is coming from.
Yeah.
So, what do you do when you've been ghosted? Let's talk about it.
What do you do?
First, I wish there was some sort of magic formula. You can just, like, plug and play.
Right.
You know, plug and go when someone's ghosted you, but there's not. So, I think the best way, at least in my opinion, the best way to protect yourself is to be careful about who you're choosing to spend time with from the start. Look for those red flags early on, like Sam says. But the truth is, sometimes there's just no way to know. If it happens, I think the best advice is just to do nothing first for the first few days. Because our instinct as humans, you know, it's to want to find out why. Like, why is it me? Like, what did I do? And then you want to contact the person just over and over and over. And then that's, like, really the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I make the right decision.
Right.
That's what they're saying to themselves.
Exactly. And let's remember, if someone chooses to ghost you, that is a deliberate decision that they are making, okay? Mm-hmm. And like we said, no one forgets to call and text back someone that they're dating if they like them. They just don't.
Right.
They're choosing this behavior. They've made a decision that they want to end this relationship. And whether you agree with the way they're going about it or not, like Ken said, it's better to just take that step back and keep your dignity, honey.
Honey, retain it. Don't let them see. Because I feel like everybody's a little capable of being a little obsessive. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But I get it. You know, the silent treatment, it's a very cruel thing for many reasons. But mainly because it has such a negative impact on the person who's on the receiving end. I think a lot of times the people who are going to ghost you aren't necessarily going to be really honest and upfront about their emotions in the first place. So it's hard to say if they're going to be willing to tell you how they're feeling or not. But if you're ghosting somebody, you never really know how that person's going to receive it.
Yeah.
You know, like, they could have already have low self-esteem and now you're just amplifying that. Mm-hmm. So just be very cautious of that when you're dating.
And remember, if you tell someone why it didn't work out, you might save their next date.
You could be telling them something they didn't know.
Right.
Or maybe some the people before were just kind of too scared to tell them or didn't tell them in a way that they understood. But you should never be ugly unless they're just ugly to you.
Right. It's one thing to be rude, and then there's one thing to give constructive criticism, okay? Okay. We're going to share a little bit of personal experience real quick. Mackenzie called me out and she was right. So there's three specific times that I remember ghosting someone.
Okay. And we've all done it. So don't you dare judge her. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. One time specifically, I actually was hanging out with this guy for a while.
Oh.
I ghosted him after we slept together for the first time, and it was awful.
Okay, understandable.
And I just could not even have the guts to tell him how terrible it really was of an experience. So that was one. I remember him messaging me being like, what did I do?
But again, I get it. Because who wants to be the person to be like,
ugh. Right.
Baby, bye.
You might be great for someone else.
But me, no.
Not me.
Work on it and then circle back.
The second time, and actually the second and third time specifically, both of these people were extremely narcissistic.
Okay.
Sociopath type situations where I was actually afraid of these people. These two guys that I actually talked to that didn't know each other actually like teamed up.
Okay.
It was, yeah. So blocked.
Yeah.
Disappeared.
I get that.
That type of thing. So before you judge me, listen to the story.
No one can judge. No one can judge. I get it. I would be team ghost all day long on those situations. Now, I've already said I've ghosted people before when I was a little younger. So young and dumb. But nowadays, I feel like anybody who has attempted to ghost or has in fact ghosted me, they've always come back. They just do hit that little yui, and they come back now.
Play Circles by Post Malone.
Alexa. But for real, ladies, and men too, but specifically ladies, if you've been ghosted and that person comes back around and just pops up in your life, that's going to be up to you if you open yourself back up to them. If they still are showing you that same behavior, otherwise you're going to be looking like Ronald fucking McDonald. You might as well just be, you know, doing kids' birthday parties.
There you go.
Right? So just remember that. That's my final thoughts on ghosting. But that's all we have for you guys today on ghosting and breadcrumbing. Just, I mean, I feel like we kind of just dipped our toes in the pool. We didn't really, like, submerge ourselves because it's a lot to unwrap and unpack.
And understand.
And understand. You know, sometimes it's just too deep. But, guys, if you have any thoughts or suggestions or anything, send us a voice message so we can play it on future episodes and then respond in real time.
Yes, and we've been getting a lot of hilarious messages. We've been trying to share at least one or two per episode with you guys because we've actually gotten a little more than we expected, but we love it. So
they're great.
They are. And so please continue to send those messages in, even if it's a good story. So hookups, dating, relationships, DM us Facebook, Instagram. We say it every week.
And you know the drill. Every Tuesday, brand new episodes going live midnight Eastern Standard Time. So until next week, bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.